Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pick and Pop Podcast, an Easter edition of the Pick and Pop Podcast. Happy Easter to all of our listeners and our readers as well on the pickandroll.com.au. I'm your host, Luke Sicari, and I know you usually hear Chris Tyler's voice at this time of the show, but Christos has moved on to America to hopefully bigger and grander things. I'll be taking over in his place, so you'll be hearing a lot more of me lately talking about Australian basketball. But joining me on the line, as always, there's no change here, Damian Arsenis from the Pick and Roll. Damo, happy Easter to you and your family, and how's things down there?
Oh, look, it's fantastic. I'm on a bit of a seaside hiatus down at Phillip Island, but look, at the end of the day, there's been a huge amount of basketball action. There was a bit of a lull there for a bit of a period for what was going on in the world, and then all of a sudden, bang, we've got Talia Tupia snapped up in the WNBA draft the other day, which is fantastic, and of course, we've got the NBA finals getting underway today as well.
Yeah, we do. And we'll stay on the WNBA to start off. Obviously, Talia Tupia there, pick 36 to the Minnesota Lynx. It's really great to see, isn't it? You know, we've seen with the introduction of the AFL women's competition, a lot of basketballers have gone into that that stage there. But it's great to see that there's still Australian basketballers going overseas, going into the grandest stage for them anyway. And it's just good to see. Obviously, she played with Sydney Uni this past season. You've obviously probably seen a bit more than I have of her. What can you tell us about her, Damo?
Oh, look, she's a combo guard. A lot of people say she's a point guard, but she's a combo guard. She's got a mature head on a young body, probably the best way to describe her. She's already a five-year veteran of the WNBL at the age of 19.
Yeah,
90 WNBL games.
That is unheard of. That's an unbelievable record.
A lot of people would call her a bit of a prodigy. Very young in the NBL at 19 years old. She's been snapped up. She would have been eligible for next year's WNBA draft as well. So the Minnesota Lynx have taken her early and really locked up an exciting young talent in Australian basketball. Last season, she was battling injury. She came off the bench to average 8.2 points a game. But you know, the year before, where she was healthy, 13.3 points a game, nearly 3.5 assists. And overall, she's a great shooter. She shoots roughly 40% from three-point land and a 90% free-throw shooter. She's the kind of person who you want the ball to be in her hands come the end of the game. She'll ice it for you. So a great snap-up there by the WNBA. Realistically, though, she probably won't go over there and play for the next couple of years. She's very young. You know, a lot of players get drafted, you know, into their early 20s. So still a long way ahead of her. She'll be back with Sydney Uni next season, and yeah, I think in a year or two we'll see her go over there and play.
Yeah, 19 years of age, obviously still very much a project developmental player for the Lynx, but we'll move on. We're still staying on the draft theme. Someone who's got a lot of people down here in the Australian basketball circles just wagging their tongues, Isaac Humphries. I mean, we all saw he had a big March Madness NCAA tournament run for Kentucky. He's making the jump. He's hired an agent and he will be going professional. He's just a guy that's got a lot of people excited, Damo.
Well, he's got a lot of upside. I guess we're talking about Isaac Humphries, 7-foot centre at Kentucky. The last two seasons, he didn't really get an opportunity in coming off the bench. A lot of people would say he didn't grasp an opportunity either to do so this season. He only averaged 2.8 points and 2.8 rebounds per game in only 8.3 minutes off the bench. But he's an exciting prospect. He came into Kentucky ranked the 41st best prospect in his year level age group. He is also the youngest sophomore in college basketball this season. So he reclassified, as people recall, to go to college early. So he's in really good off the court as much as he is on it as well. And he was an absolute star in the World Championships for Australia. He had a 41-point game against Canada. Just gives you the idea of what he can do. He really didn't get an opportunity to show that scoring potential with Kentucky, unfortunately. But as you said, he had a great March Madness. Unfortunately, it was in a loss to the eventual champion in North Carolina. But, you know, he lifted on the big stage. He showed he can deliver. He got people excited in that game and showed everyone and reminded everyone of what he actually can do. So will he get drafted in this year's NBA draft? Possibly not. He may have to go the European pathway, which is a pathway that's worked for a guy like Jonah Bolden, who, you know, one season at UCLA, left pretty much due to academic reasons, though, and has starred in Serbia, and he's going to probably get an early second rounder in this year's NBA draft.
Yeah, he is. He's really shown that going to college straight to the draft, it's not the be or end all. There are different pathways to get there. Bolden's one of them who's just absolutely exploded in Europe this year. And he's not the only one, Damer. Dang Adel as well is also nominated for the NBA draft, I believe.
Yeah, Dang Adel's nominated as well. Of course, he's really emerged at Louisville this year as a sophomore as well. Realistically, though, he'll probably go back to college. He hasn't hired an agent. It's called testing the waters as an early NBA draft participant. So he can go and work out for teams as long as he doesn't hire an agent. He can go back. And to a degree, Isaac Humphries is in the same boat too. However, Isaac Humphries has said he will hire an agent.
Yeah,
so that means as soon as he hires an agent, he can't go back to college.
Yeah, and obviously these are some of the guys that are potentially going to be the next Aussies in the NBA. But as you mentioned off the top of the show, there are certainly many of them already running around in the professional ranks. And the NBA playoffs started today, and already, in to me, this has felt like a cornerstone year for Australian basketball. We've really seen so many Aussies in the NBA kind of make their own, just make a name for themselves and really carve out a role for their respective teams. And we saw that today, earlier this morning, actually, the Bucks defeated the Raptors in a game one upset, a big upset down in Toronto.
All right.
Yeah, on the road, exactly right. And Matthew Dellavedova, who's had an up and down year. He hasn't been anything special, but he's done the job. You know, we know he's a backup point guard. He's reliable, which is what you need from that position. He comes out and scores 11 points today, scoring double digits in the playoffs. That's definitely something big that the Bucks can build on. But the guy that I'm more excited about, Fawn Maker. Now, you look at the stat sheet, 4 points, 3 rebounds, nothing special. He had a big, big momentum-changing block almost on DeMar DeRozan in the third quarter. You know, the game was still up in the balance at that stage. Milwaukee got a fast break bucket on the other end. And Maker was up and about after that block. His teammates got around him. It was great to see. And I think about Fawn Maker, Damer. We think 12 months ago, everyone was a bit unsure about where he was in his development. And to think 12 months later, he's making big-time plays in an NBA playoff game on the road. It's pretty spectacular when you think about it that way.
Oh, it is. He had a huge impact in that third quarter. You mentioned one block. He had three blocks.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Each one of those blocks resulted in a Greek freak transition layup or dunk.
Yeah.
So that was just absolutely phenomenal and really got the Bucks going. And they really cruised in that game in the
end. They did, yeah.
Eight wins. And two of the Aussies were at the forefront of their success. So it's great to see them. But, of course, that team's all about the Greek freak, though. He's been nothing short of phenomenal.
He's a scary talent.
Two Aussies being part of that success as well with the Bucks, and the Bucks have really emerged, and they're one of the exciting teams in the playoffs.
Yeah,
and to a lot of teams, they're a danger.
They are,
because they're just so gifted, so athletic, and they could probably just turn it on at any time, like they did against the Raptors today. And as you said, that was an upset. But we've also got the Spurs in action today. They're currently leading.
They are cruising.
They're cruising. And Patty Mills is there, and again, he's really taken the lead. Tony Parker's sort of on the way out where Patty Mills is on the way in. Will Patty Mills stay there next year? Right now, though, it's all about the finals. And the Spurs put together just about a record-breaking season again.
Yeah.
The third or the fourth best record they put together in NBA history?
Yeah, I think it was. And I think the crazy thing about the Spurs is the consecutive years of excellence. I mean, in a landscape where team rosters are changing so much and so dramatically every year, for a team to be that stable and an organization to be that successful over a long period of time, it's really a credit to them and how they run the organization, excuse me. And we've seen Patty Mills really reap the benefits of that. Now, obviously, we're not too sure what's going to happen with his future, but it's still great to see him stepping up on the NBA playoff stage. And Joe Ingles is another guy the Utah Jazz played later on today while we're recording. Dante Exum as well with the Jazz. But Ingles got named to an ESPN all-underrated team. So he's another guy that's really stepped into his own this year in NBA circles.
Oh, most certainly. Joe Ingles has been an absolute standout. And I think it surprised a lot of people with just how well he's fitted in. You know, good old slow-mo Joe.
Yeah.
Highlights, it's literally slow motion. They haven't slowed the tape down, but he's so effective.
And it's crazy you say that, Dave. Sorry to cut you off, but in this today's day and age of modern day basketball, it's all about athleticism and quickness and how quick you can get up and down the floor. Joe Ingles is almost the complete opposite of that, but he still gets it done efficiently.
It does, he does. And he's been so efficient from shooting from the wing too.
Yeah, he has.
Point line. You know, he's shooting more than 40% from the wings, from the three-point line. You do not want to leave him open. And he's even been getting his quick release off exceptionally well this year as well. And that just goes to show how confident he is. When he's nailing that quick release shot, he is shooting with confidence and playing with confidence. And, you know, again, the Utah Jazz are a team that no one really wants to play because there's still a huge amount of upside about them and about what they can achieve. You know, Dante Exum, you mentioned, is starting to come out of his shell now that he's fully recovered and got his confidence back in his knee. He's been explosive at times, and it hasn't been settling for those outside shots like he did last in his rookie year. He's been getting to the rim and finishing. So really exciting times ahead for the Aussies in the NBA Finals.
Absolutely. And we're running out of time, so we'll quickly touch on a few other topics that we wanted to speak about. Angus Glover, we spoke about the guys earlier who could be making a jump into the NBA. This is a really exciting prospect, but not great news.
No, it was Australia's lone representative in the Nike Hoop. Nike Hoop Summit.
There we go.
He was in practice and doing really well and then blew out his knee, unfortunately. And, of course, he's recovered after blowing out his other knee just 12 months ago. And he recovered strongly, put his name forward. It's absolutely been the leading light of the Basketball Australia Centre of Excellence in the SEABL. Blew out his knee on the eve of the Nike Hoop Summit. So whilst he's been part of it and he's enjoyed it, and this is on the back of him declaring that he won't go to St. Mary's College. It was a verbal commit. He's confirmed he's not going to go there and instead he's turning pro.
Yep.
So he's looking to play in the NBL next season. So now he's essentially got 9 to 12 months out and he won't be going to college. So hopefully he gets a development spot again with one of the NBL teams who can recover. Of course, being at the Basketball Australia Centre of Excellence, he'll have access to the best equipment and facilities there. But the last thing I want to do is we're talking about Basketball Australia. They've had the under-18 Nationals on this.
They have
some amazing talent in action there. And big shout-out to the Vic Metro men and the Vic Country women who came away with the gold medal.
Absolutely. And we'll have a full and comprehensive wrap of that tournament a bit later in the week on pickandroll.com.au. Well, Damo, we've run out of time, unfortunately, but as always, appreciate your time. And once again, to all our listeners, have a very safe and happy Easter. We'll be back next time for the Pick and Pop podcast.